Readings and homily for March 20th.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock deep into the desert, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the Lord appeared to Moses in a fire flaming out of a bush. And he saw that the bush, though on fire, was not consumed. And Moses said, "I must go and see this remarkable sight and see why the bush is not burned." When the Lord saw him coming to look at it more closely, God called out to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." He answered, "Here I am." God said, "Come no nearer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." "I am the God of your fathers," he continued, "the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. But the Lord said, "I have seen the affliction of my people in Egypt and have heard their cry against their slave drivers. So I know well what they are suffering. Therefore, I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and lead them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Moses said to God, "I shall go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' If they ask me, 'What is his name?' what am I to tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who am." Then he said, "This is what you shall tell the Israelites: I am sent me to you." God spoke further to Moses, "Thus shall you say to the Israelites, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you.' This is my name forever. Thus am I to be remembered through all generations." The word of the Lord. Thank you.
and merciful, slow to anger, full of kindness. God is good to all creation, full of compassion. The Lord is kind and merciful. The Lord is kind and merciful. Slow to anger, rich in kindness. The Lord is kind and merciful.
The goodness of God is from
a reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all of them were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down in the desert. These things happened as an example for us, so that we might not be desire evil things as they did. Do not grumble as some of them did, and suffer death by the destroyer. These things happened to them as an example, and they have been written down to us as a warning, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, whoever thinks he is secure should take care not to fall. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hey. with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." And he told them this parable. There was once a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
I thought I was going to have some good news for you, but now maybe it's bad. I woke up this morning, I couldn't talk at all. But as the Mass is going on, I'm getting my voice back, so that could be the bad news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. How often have we come up to a tragedy, and most often it's on the highway, and we come upon a very serious wreck, and maybe we say or crosses our mind, "Thank God I wasn't there at that time." That was usually my first reaction. I think I was coming home from Chicago. It was my first semester at Mundelein Seminary, and ran across a tragedy, a crash that seemed devastating. I remember saying, "Well, thank God I wasn't there. That must have happened 10 minutes ago or 15 minutes ago, coming upon that and then happening." Or, "Thank God it's not one of my loved ones or someone that I know." I then arrested myself later on to think, why in the world would I think that? You know, at that very moment of having uttered such a selfish and insensitive remark and using the name of God also, thank God it wasn't me. And maybe we have all been there at one time or another. Whether we hear of some tragedy or another, many of us have echoed that familiar refrain, "Thank God it wasn't me." The people introduced at the beginning of today's gospel, who were speaking to Christ of the recent atrocity, were obviously troubled when the slaughter of their fellow countrymen, while they were either in the temple or on their way to offer their sacrifice at the temple, they too may have sighed with relief, "Thank God it wasn't me." Their pain was not just confined to the killings, but also the desecration of the temple. Why did it happen? Couldn't God have protected them? Were these Jews being punished? Well, some would have come to this simple conclusion, but our Lord did not give those answers, though he did give an answer. The Lord rejected the idea that these men were killed because they were more sinful, because they were more wicked than other people, that they were being punished for their crimes. No, he is empathetic. They were not, I tell you, no. Our Lord clears away the confusion about what is happening in the world. He clears away that rubble of nihilism that says that there are no answers. He clears away the rubble of karma that says you get punished in this life for what you yourself have done recently or even in your past life. What then is his response to the massacre of these particular people in the temple, or those of whom the building collapsed in Siloam? The first response was in the form of a rhetorical question. Do you suppose these Galileans who suffered like that were greater sinners than any of the other Galileans? And with regards to the temple being collapsed, he may have said that same question. But fast forward to our present context. Are we any different? Are we any better? And the answer is not at all. And then our Lord adds the following clincher. But unless you repent, you will all punish as they did. We are all alike in one way or another. We all have sinned, and we all have fallen short of the glory of God. St. Paul reminded us in that second reading that though the Israelites were privileged to have passed through the sea, baptized into Moses and in this cloud and in the sea, most of them failed to please God, and their corpses littered the desert. St. Paul adds that these things happened as warnings to us. Are we any better just because we are Catholic Christians, because we may abstain from meat on Friday, or say our prayers daily, or come to Mass every Sunday? Our Lord reminds us in that parable of the fig tree that God may choose to be patient with us at the present moment and afford us time, sufficient time to repent. But we should not be so careless as to squander this opportunity, maybe by not making amendments, maybe by not changing our behavior or our lifestyle, our direction in life. Lent helps us get back on track to carry us not just till Easter, but beyond. No one will be spared from God's judgment at the end. And that is why we are all in need of a Savior. That's why God sent his only begotten Son to us to be our Savior of the world. Jesus' death on the cross is the greatest demonstration of God's mercy. It is only the mercy of God that keeps any of us alive. And we're here and privileged here at St. Robert Bellarmine to be reminded of that after every Mass when we pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord, and on the whole world. We all know of someone, family member, relative, friends that we've loved, who died suddenly, or may have died tragically. Some died young, some died after suffering and pain, even though they possessed a tremendous faith in God. Which begs the question, Were they being punished? Were they greater sinners than us? These were good people. And yet death entered their lives. But today's readings remind us that our Lord's answer is nothing like what we would expect. It's our Lord calling us to repentance. Death or tragedy should be that incentive for us to get our life in the right direction. I often say in funeral homilies of the people there, and they're mourning the death of their loved one, and they see it visually. And I remind them about a tornado warning. And then most of them kind of, what are you talking about, tornado warning? And I remind them about when we're going about our business and we hear the little squelch and we see tornado watch. How many of us just really fail to even acknowledge that? And then you're going about your business, and all of a sudden, it gets darker, windier. You hear the squelch again, and then it says tornado warning. And now you're looking outside. And now we have that capability of looking on the TV and say, it will pass Blue Springs at this hour. Take cover. That tornado warning reminds us, just like that funeral, it raises our antennas of, you know what, I will be just like this person I love, and one day I too will die, and I too will face God, my judge. So how have I lived my life up to today? What is it that I need to change to go the right direction that God wants me to go? That it's only in funerals that we kind of raise our awareness. Wow, one day I will die and have to face God, my judge. And how am I living my life up to today? That reminds us to ask the question of ourselves. If God calls me today, will I be ready? The greatest tragedy is not the suffering, nor the pain, nor even death. The greatest tragedy is to abuse the time given to us to change the direction of our lives, to realign our will to the will of God. And so repent, as our Lord says. Not just during Lent, not just up to Easter, but throughout the whole year, repent. So next time we hear of a tragedy, of a terrible death, don't be so quick to say, thank God it wasn't me. How about, wow, unless I repent, will I be ready when God calls me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.